Okay, thanks very much for that, Peter. It's a real pleasure to be with you here at the Risk Conference. So last week, the RBA released its latest statement on monetary policy. As usual, it went through some of the key risks currently facing the Australian economy, with a focus on the forecast horizon of the next 2 to 3 years. Today, however, I'll focus on some Australian financial market developments that are responding to risks that extend well beyond that time frame, the risks from climate change. So the RBA seeks to understand the implications of climate change and the efforts being made to address it. So these are relevant to our objectives around the economy, financial stability, and the welfare of the Australian people. Our understanding of climate-related issues has benefited enormously from the work of others, as well as from feedback provided on our own work. So in that spirit today, I'll be sharing some material prepared by my colleagues for an upcoming bulletin article on green and sustainable finance in Australia. In considering Australian financial markets and climate change, I'll focus on three main areas. Firstly, why financial markets have an important role to play in addressing climate risk. Secondly, how some Australian financial market activity has responded to date. And thirdly, the outlook for green and sustainable finance in Australia and measures being taken to support it. Okay, so the global task ahead. Climate scientists warn that carbon emissions are heating the planet and that the rise in global temperatures is already having profound effects on our climate and weather patterns. World leaders agree that emissions must be reduced, and so many countries, Australia included, have agreed to meet a target of net zero emissions by 2050. So globally, massive investment is required for the necessary structural changes to meet this target. A sense of the scale of this challenge can be taken from estimates in the latest International Energy Agency report. So you can see from this chart that for clean energy alone, by 2030, annual investment will have to be running at around 3 times the current pace, which has already increased substantially in recent years. Furthermore, some earlier IEA work has highlighted this elevated pace will need to be substantially maintained from 2030 through to 2050 to meet the net zero commitment. So while the investment needed to transition to a low carbon energy system globally is huge, of course, inaction on climate change will be far more costly in the long run. So Australia is very much part of the global increase in investment required to facilitate these changes. We currently have carbon intensive electricity generation, but we also have large natural endowments that can help facilitate the transition ahead. This includes wind and solar renewable energy, where investment has already grown strongly in recent years. So how will this massive increase in global investment be financed? Well, positively, there is large and growing interest from investors in the opportunities afforded by green and sustainable investment. Investors are attracted by the broader welfare benefits of addressing the risks of climate change, as well as the fact that they can be a smart financial decision. The transition presents both risks and opportunities, and investors want to be on the right side of this equation. So a tangible sign of the interest is the big increase in global flows to investment funds that are mandated to invest in green or sustainable investment. So data compiled by the OECD show that global assets under management for sustainable funds totaled around US $3 trillion in 2022, roughly 4 times increase since 2010. So while this remains a fairly small share of total assets under management, around 6%, many investors outside of sustainable funds also have considerable interest in investments with sustainable characteristics. So financial markets will be critical for mobilising funds from savers to finance the massive increase in investment required. Against that backdrop, let's consider some recent financing trends in Australia. Now, over the past decade, there has been considerable growth in Australian green and sustainable financing markets, My focus today is primarily on green finance. That's a subset of the broader sustainable finance category, which also encompasses social projects. So I'll discuss green areas of four areas of green financial markets in particular. So we've got green bonds, green loans, green securitisations, and ethical funds. So on to green bonds. Broadly speaking, these are bonds issued to fund projects that are beneficial to the environment or climate. For example, clean transportation projects, which have been the main use of green bonds in Australia. For classification as green, issuers and investors have tended to rely on voluntary guidelines developed by international not-for-profit organisations, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with. So the Australian green bond market has grown quickly since its inception in 2014, though it does remain a modest share of the overall bond market. So you can see from this chart that over $10 billion of green bonds were issued in 2022, which was the highest annual amount on record to that point. But then this year, in 2023, in the first half year alone, that amount was exceeded as new issuers have continued to enter the market. You can see from the number of colours there that the volume is made up of a broad range of issuers. So Kangaroo green bonds have comprised around one-third of total issuance since 2014. These issuers are largely supranational organisations. They've been early issuers in green bond markets around the world, including in Australia. Australian trade treasury corporations have also been large issuers, funding projects that include the Parramatta Light Rail, Sunshine Coast Solar Farm, and Melbourne Water's Western Treatment Plant. Australian banks have been consistent green bond issuers over the past decade, both domestically and offshore. Non-financial corporations have also issued in these markets, but to a lesser extent. Looking ahead, the Australian government has announced plans for their inaugural sovereign green bond issuance in 2024, and work on that is well underway. So the strong growth in the market reflects strong interest from both issuers and investors. Pricing and liquidity of green bonds relative to conventional bonds is clearly an area of keen interest for both groups. Now, there is some evidence from international markets that green bonds can attract investors at lower yields than their non-green counterparts. Now, this is the so-called greenium. Previous research has explained this as reflecting investor preference for socially responsible investments. We can get some indication of relative pricing from the Kangaroo market, which has enough bonds to support such a comparison. So if we treat the AAA-rated Kangaroo bond pools as broadly comparable and account for differences in tenor and face values, we do find some indication of a mild greenium for green Kangaroo bonds. However, this may reflect their European orientation rather than a broader phenomenon across the Australian market, given that many of these supranationals are from Europe and a greenium has been found to apply in some European markets. Now, there's also some international evidence that green bond markets are less liquid than their conventional counterparts. So we can also get an indication of difference in liquidity for Australian Kangaroo bonds by looking at last year's turnover data from Austraclear. So these data suggest that green Kangaroo bonds are no less liquid than their conventional equivalent. And in fact, the turnover ratio for the green bond was a little bit higher, in fact. So I'll turn now to green loans, which are offered by some Australian banks and non-bank lenders for finance across a range of products, including residential property, autos, and commercial property and equipment. Though data are hard to come by, numerous reports suggest that interest and activity in green loans has considerable momentum. As with green bonds, there's currently no centrally administered definition for what constitutes a green loan in Australia. However, Australian lenders have somewhat come together around green loan definitions and use similar criteria. In many cases, external certification based on energy usage and efficiency of buildings is also obtained. Given the importance of bank lending in the Australian financial system, green loans are an attractive prospect for assisting in the green transition. In particular, given that residential housing loans are bank's biggest lending category, and residential buildings contribute more than 10% of Australia's carbon emissions, there is considerable potential to make a meaningful reduction to overall emissions. Towards this goal, the Australian Government has recently allocated additional funding to the Clean Energy Finance Corporation to provide discounted consumer finance in this area. It's also announced plans to expand the National House Energy Ratings Scheme to provide energy ratings for existing dwellings in addition to new ones. This stands to substantially increase the pool of loans with information relevant for sustainable finance. On to green securitisations. So green loans are the collateral for green asset-backed securities, or green securitisations. Issuance patterns in this market have followed a similar trajectory to green bonds, albeit on a smaller scale. So you can see from this chart that volumes have grown following the first green ABS issuance in 2016, hitting a record $1.4 billion of green labelled ABS in 2022. That said, volumes have slowed a bit in the year to date, and as a share of the market, once again, it remains quite low. The Australian Securitisation Forum's market guideline on ESG disclosure from 2022 sets out industry-developed principles-based guidelines to standardise green securitisations. It makes no recommendations on the criteria used for green classifications, leaving it to the issuer's discretion, but it recommends broad disclosures, including the criteria of any external certification used. So it's quite a flexible arrangement. Turning now to ethical funds. So in equities markets, there's no equivalent concept to green bonds and loans, because they're identified through a direct link to the characteristics of the underlying asset. Of course, with an equity, by contrast, the share of a company, they might engage in both green and other activities. Some broad indication of green interest in equities can be taken from ethical funds. So these are managed funds, predominantly invest in equities, that advertise a broad ethical mandate, which usually incorporates green aims and investment strategies. By this measure, ethical funds have first appeared in Australia in the 1980s, but growth has been picking up of late, both in dollar terms and as a share of the total assets under management. It's a familiar story here. It's picked up, but it does remain a fairly low share of overall funds. It is worth noting that in the past 5 years, the number of new ethical funds being launched has doubled relative to the previous 5 years. So it does seem to have some momentum. So, the road ahead in Australia. These developments across a range of markets are positive signs that issuers and investors alike are embracing green and sustainable finance in Australia. Market participants have developed mechanisms by which to identify environmentally beneficial activity, and funding has flowed. Both green financing activity and flows to sustainable investment funds have shown strong momentum in recent years. That said, financing for sustainable activities will need to increase substantially in the period ahead if we are to decarbonise and meet net zero goals. Recognising this, there are various activities underway to further develop Australia's sustainable finance framework. Many of these measures focus on supporting the quality and consistency of sustainability-related information. The Australian Government has proposed mandatory climate-related financial disclosures for large businesses and financial institutions. Treasury recently concluded a second consultation on this issue. Additionally, the Australian Government will support the development of an Australian sustainable finance taxonomy in partnership with industry through the Australian Sustainable Finance Institute. The taxonomy will provide a set of common definitions for sustainable activities. In other work, ASIC is actively working against greenwashing by promoting awareness of the regulatory expectations, undertaking surveillance, and, where necessary, taking action to enforce standards. APRA is seeking to ensure that the institutions they regulate, banks, insurers, and super funds, manage the risks and opportunities that arise from a changing climate, just as they would with other types of risks. For our part, the Reserve Bank is closely following these developments and contributing through our role in the Council of Financial Regulators Working Group on Climate Change. We continue to increase our understanding of the implications of climate change for the Australian economy and financial system via internal analysis and external engagement domestically and abroad. We're committed to improving the environmental performance of our own operations, and we're also considering what sustainability and climate-related financial disclosures we can make, starting with operational emissions reporting in line with Department of Finance guidelines in our upcoming annual report. To conclude, addressing climate change by transitioning to net zero emissions is a massive challenge, requiring profound and sweeping challenges across the globe. Australian financial markets have taken some steps to facilitate flows of capital to sustainable investment, although the financing task ahead looms large. Improving data and transparency around climate risks and sustainability will support efforts in financial markets to align investment with climate goals for the net zero path ahead. Thanks very much for your time.